Blog Talk Radio.
Viewer discretion is advised.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome all. This is the Sports Underline, and I am your host, Troy Granville. No Devontae Little with us today, but he shall return tomorrow instead. In a couple of minutes, I will be having a special guest co-host call in, and you all know this guy by the name of Aaron Stevens. So hopefully he'll be here in the next 10, 15, maybe even 20 minutes, but hey, he'll get here when we get here. Huge show today, from NBA all the way to the MLB. We have a wild summer and free agent ahead of us for the NBA with the NBA draft among us. I expect for teams to consider and weigh their options when it comes to building for the future and building to win now. Of course, workouts, injuries, and a couple of phone calls and side deals is expected, though, right? Grizzlies shopping their number 4 pick. I have to give you the pros and cons on one of my favorites to improve in the West, giving their chance to go younger and continue to build around a core that possibly could turn into a pretty good all-around team and shed some much-needed big contracts, especially the injury-prone guys. You know who I'm talking about. Michael Porter Jr. injured. How this affects his draft stock going into the draft, how far he could fall, as well as how serious this injury really is. Some MLB for you guys today. The 19-year-old Juan Soto has a big game to help Devontae Snass get a very close win over the Yankees. Maybe an early prediction for a championship game, eh? Harper's recent coast, as well as the MLB rumors saying that they need him to compete in the home run derby. Whether or not he needs to or not, I really don't think they'll be hurting, maybe just to get a big star on the roster. And as far as him coasting this season, I know you guys tuned in and heard me and Devontae talking about the likes of Bryce Harper and Mike Trout, how he's been mad at Mike Trout, how Harper is not being Harper, that he doesn't deserve the money. I'll get into that, but going into another one of Devontae's team, we have the San Francisco's Giants, Longoria. Fractured finger and what it could cost this team as they move forward. How worried should you be? If I'm the Giants, I would be pretty worried, but hey, I'm a Detroit fan, and we just lost Miggy for the whole season for like the third or fourth time, his fourth stint here in Detroit, and I'm not too worried because I know it's going to be a rebuilding process. But Giants fans, you should be. You have something special over there, and of course you want your best chance at it, and you have to have everybody healthy. Moving on to the NFL, I know you guys have been reading reports and keeping up with recent news. The NFLPA exploring multiple law firms to research different ways on how to stop teams and players from fighting the whole anthem policy. Of course, they have gotten into it with the league, President Trump. I'm curious to see how this pans out. Browns, Myles Garrett, having strong words for what he expects from the Browns this season, his health, and newly crowned two-time finals MVP Kevin Durant. What I read was quite astonishing. I like it, though. Chargers, Antonio Gates engaged in talks after promising tight end Henry Hunter tears his ACL. And, of course, I'm going to give you my way too early predictions of fantasy football, a game that me, Devontae, a couple of our friends and family always come around and play. Hopefully we probably can make it a little money lead, make it more competitive, and we'll see how it goes from there. I will be starting off with baseball, but before I do that, my special co-host and guest has arrived. So let's welcome Aaron Stevens, everybody. My good man,
what's up,
are you
y'all?
Here? Yes, I'm
here. How y'all doing?
I'm doing good. I'm sure the people at home are doing good as well, as we're about to engage in a very, very good show. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. Just, you know, getting ready for this free agency.
Oh, yeah, living life to the fullest. We're going to get to NBA in a moment, but I will start off with baseball to kind of run through that real quickly because I believe we're going to be in NBA very heavy today. So I'm going to give you a brief recap of the final scores of the games from yesterday. My Pirates was able to beat the Diamondbacks 5-4. My Rockies did pretty much put a spanking on the Phillies, as Devontae would say it was about time, 7-2. The Tigers did tough it out and beat those Twins, those promising Twins that my father and Devontae seems to have so much faith in. 5-2, no Miguel Cabrera, no problem. Braves shut out the Mets 2-0. Braves still putting on a show, trying to make their case for this year. Rays shut out the Blue Jays 1-0. The Brewers beat the Cubs 1-0. Red Sox put a whooping on the Orioles 5-1. Mariners 8-6 over the Angels. Could that have anything to do with Mike Trout? According to Devontae, it does. I think they'll be all right. The Nationals, with a man that doesn't deserve the money, 5-4 over the Yankees thanks to the young 19-year-old Soto. Definitely going to start with that first. Marlins beat the Giants by 1, 5-4. Could that have anything to do with Longoria's finger fracture? Maybe. White Sox beat the Indians, edged them just by 1, 3-2. Reds shut out the Royals 7-0. The Padres making a case for this year. All eyes on them. Beat the Cardinals 4-2. And the Astros just manhandled the Athletics 13-5. My God. Dodgers edged the Rangers 3-2. Then we're going to come over into today's game. The Phillies, however, did get revenge on my Rockies. 9-3 is the final. And the Tigers get another win over the Twins, 3-1. How exciting is that? Games that are in process are the Rays versus the Yankees. I fully expect the Yankees to bounce back and beat the Rays today. Giants did beat the Marlins and trump whatever injury that people thought that they were plagued with that was going to slow them down, 6-3. But that's only one game. Let's see how they go moving forward and what time frame do they have to get Longoria back. Indians beat the White Sox 5-2. Astros beat the Athletics once again 7-3. Upcoming games at 7:35, we have the Padres facing off against the Braves, a very promising game and one that I intend to watch. Mets versus the Diamondbacks at 9:40. And to end today, it will be the Red Sox versus the Mariners, another promising game that I probably will be flicking back and forth between Padres and Braves and Red Sox and Mariners. But let's talk Nationals and Yankees. This game I watched while we were doing the show yesterday, and it was a pretty exciting game for me. Aaron, I know you're a big Yankees fan. Of course, Devontae is a Yankees fan, even though he has, like, what, 6 or 7 teams that he currently roots for in the MLB. I'm no better. I have about 3 or 4. I guess you can cut it down to 3 as to I'm not very much on board with the Pirates anymore, and it has nothing to do with the fact that Kutch has left. But I think Rockies, Tigers are the two teams I'm going to stick with. So, yeah, I have about 2 teams now, as I could say. But, yeah, the Yankees look pretty good coming out of here. Giancarlo Stanton has put his mark on this team. We're seeing the old Giancarlo as of old. Aaron Judge is still a promising young man doing his job, and the rest of this Yankees team has just pulled together. But some pitching at the bottom of the third, maybe top of the fourth, got them in trouble, as I cannot remember who was pitching at the time, but I do remember whose bats was hot around that time, and Juan Soto was one of them. 19-year-old hit not one, but 2 big home runs to give these guys the game, in my opinion. Bryce Harper has coasted. I don't think we should be worried about Harper too much. I know you heard me and Devontae talk about that yesterday. Does he deserve the money? I think he does. Devontae obviously doesn't. He wouldn't pay him. We talked about him possibly getting moved. I doubt that. But Bryce Harper is still pretty damn good, still one of the best hitters, players in baseball today, not named Mike Trout, and a couple of others you can make a case for is one of the best in the game today. But with that being said, Juan Soto, the 19-year-old, having a big game to help the Nats out. The New York Yankees seem to have had this one in control for the first 3.5 innings as they were up 2-0. National scores their first run, and the Yankees pour right back on again with 2 nice hits from Judge. Giancarlo Stanton to go up 3-1. But, Daniels, Soto, and I can't remember the third batter, but these guys hit. They got on base, and the home run from Soto sets up a 3-score run, putting them up 4-3. From that, it was all she wrote. All they had to do was get solid pitches, and I believe the Yankees got surprised at how good these Nationals played against them and got sucker punched. You do need to watch the highlights from that game. Like I said, it was a very good game. I was flipping between that and the Mercury game, I believe, in WNBA, and I just kind of stuck with that. Didn't even watch the rest of the WNBA. Not to say that it wasn't exciting. I was just more into the baseball at the moment. So, shouts out to Juan Soto. Hopefully that guy has many more big games in that Nationals jersey to help this team get over the hump. Hey, the Washington Capitals did it, so why not go with the Nats this year as well? That's what Devontae said, even though I will be letting it be known that the Washington Capitals did it first. They broke this so-called curse that me and Devontae says was looming over Washington as they have hoisted the Stanley Cup. Same thing for the Nationals. I doubt it. Wizards, we'll see. We'll talk about that later. I think the WNBA team has a pretty good chance of making some noise this year, but we'll have to wait on that as well, as the season is still underway and there's plenty more basketball for those ladies to play. With that being said, I'm moving on to the next topic, which is Bryce Harper, his recent coast. I think his numbers will improve. This is just one of those schlumps where the bat is not just hot. You're kind of riding your teammates, and they're just good enough to get wins, as you can see yesterday with a statement win over the New York Yankees. This whole rumor about the MLB needing him to compete in the home run derby is what's interesting to me, for the simple fact of it's because they don't have enough to aim, like the All-Star game or the Pro Bowl in different sports. Are people just not interested anymore? Are they trying to pack the stadium and sell as much money as they can, as long as keeping the tradition alive? Who knows? But I can't say I would like to see Bryce Harper in there, but I wouldn't be mad if he did. The home run derby is always exciting for me. I know Devontae loves it. And many fans across the globe love the home run derby. But I don't think they need him to enter the home run derby. But, hey, they wouldn't be opposed to him running again. I know Aaron Judge said that he wasn't going to do it again. Injuries might stop other people or just focus. And we might get to see some new faces come up here that can really hit the ball out the park, hit the power, and put their names on the map from this derby. But we'll have to see. Moving on to my last category for MLB before I switch to the NBA. Longoria, the boy, fractured his finger in the game yesterday. However, they were able to get a win today without him. How will this affect this team moving forward? I think the Giants should be semi-worried. I think they're still good enough to play. We don't know how serious the injury is or how long he'll be out. I don't think they should hit the panic button just yet until they know that timetable, but even then, the Giants are still a pretty good team, a force to be reckoned with in the MLB. So, hey, that's all I'm going to have to say about that. Of course, we're going to recap this tomorrow when Devontae is back, about Soto, Harper, the home run derby, and of course, we're going to have many more topics to talk about as well, as we see how the rest of this day wraps up the rest of these games. I know we're going to talk Padres and Braves for sure, Red Sox and Mariners. He might gloat about his Astros and Indians, even though they did drop a game. Get to see what he has to say about the Giants and Yankees and my Tigers and his Phillies, because my Rockies got served a little revenge dish. But Aaron is a Yankees fan over here. How do you feel about the New York Yankees? Do you think this game affects them? How will it affect them moving forward? You still got faith in them? I still think they can make the World Series and one of the most dangerous teams in here.
Yeah, I think they're going to be there when postseason rolls around.
Mm-hmm. With that being said, I didn't even play my music, so I guess I'll switch to this now. I wanted to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game, but I got so wrapped up in what I was talking about. But you hear it. That is the NBA on FSN theme. Shout out to FSN. It is time to talk some basketball. I think we have a wild summer ahead of us, Aaron. With free agency looming, the NBA draft shortly coming amongst us. What do we have in store for us? Summer has always been wild. I'm going to start off with the draft first, just to get that out of the way. As I mentioned earlier, I expect some teams to consider wearing their option as well as trading up, trading pieces, going younger, trying to win now. What teams do you think needs to make a move or need this draft to improve for their future in the NBA?
Say it again. I'm sorry.
Oh, I said it to the fans earlier today. Starting with the NBA draft, I said I expect for teams to consider and weigh their options when it comes to building for the future or building to win now. what teams do you think need to build for the future, and what teams do you think need to build to win now?
I can't really pinpoint it at this point.
Well, teams that you're looking at, I know you said you might be a Pistons fan this year. LeBron's on. Of course, he wants to win for now. Cavs, where do you think LeBron's going, the Pistons? Or just teams you think will make try to make a move to improve their team?
Well, the Pistons, I think they're going to try to get from up under Reggie Jackson, or at least get a quality backup point guard. That's where I'm at on the Pistons. So, I mean, like, we can go down some teams, like, name some teams, and we can see what they need, you know. But it's off the top of my head, I think the Pistons are going to look for more facilitating point guard. With LeBron, it's anybody's guess. I just know he wants to win at this point in his career. I mean, he's been winning he's been going to 8 straight finals. I think he should stay in the East. I would hope Cleveland can figure something out to get him some help so he don't have to leave again. Carmelo has always been for the money grab, so I don't see him opting out of that $25 million because he's not going to get $25 million somewhere else in free agency. Unless he gets a call from LeBron saying, hey, brother, I want you to come play with me, take this, you know, reduced role and come over here and try to get a ring wherever I go. I can see that happen. Besides that, I see him sticking in OKC and probably getting bought out come February because they don't keep Paul George. I don't see that team doing nothing in the West. The Rockets, like the GM said, he's obsessed with the Warriors, so they're going to try to get into the Paul George, Kawhi, LeBron, whoever sweepstakes. They might settle for DeAndre. Who else we got out here? DeMarcus, yeah. That's the big man coming off of, you know, a big injury. So I don't know who wants to take a big, you know, risk by signing him. Chris Paul, I'm pretty sure he's going to stay in Houston. Hopefully he gives them a bargain or something because they don't need to be paying him $200 million at this point in his career, definitely when we see him leaving early in playoff series. And then that's just off the top of my head right now.
Any players in the draft you see immediately that could come out and help a team compete or build for the future for either of those teams?
I like the two-point guards. I like Young. I like their confidence. I like the way they're building themselves up. I like how Trae Young put on his weight. Saxon is a beast. I love his defense. He's kind of like John Wall when he first came in. He has to, you know, wheel that speed in sometimes. Sometimes it's his best friend. Sometimes it's his worst enemy. But I like, you know, how he worked out with the Cavs. They said it went good. Trae Young, I want him to go to New York, big city, big lights. Give us some Jeremy Lin Sanity moments. Those are my two guys that make immediate impact. I keep hearing rumors about Michael Porter Jr. is getting pushed up to the Kings to the fourth spot. He canceled all his workouts for all the teams from four and below. So that's the latest rumor on him. So, yeah, we're going to see. When is the draft? The 25th. Today is the 14th. So, yeah, we got like 10 more days to find out how this stuff going to be, see if some of these picks is going to be moved.
Yeah, it's not far away at all. Just to kind of piggyback off what you were saying, starting with the Pistons, new coach Dwayne Casey, I doubt we have a GM by the time the draft get here. If we do, they're going to have very little time to prepare. But, hey, Tom Gore and Casey might be going ahead and taking care of that and the assistant general manager. As far as drafting, you know, the Pistons do not have a first-round draft pick. Our draft history is not that great either. I mean, we got a couple of hidden gems that just didn't reach their potential yet, still have time because they're young. But with that being said, I've heard the rumors of the Pistons maybe looking to get a more reliable point guard due to Reggie Jackson's health. But when he is healthy, I think we are a playoff team in the Eastern Conference. How far we go, that is unknown. With that being said, I've heard whispers of maybe, I don't know, Kemba Walker could be an ugly divorce from the Hornets. Maybe John, I don't see that happening. Damian Lillard is a pipe dream. So I don't know at this moment. We could end up sticking with Reggie Jackson. And if these guys are serious, then nobody is untouchable. Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin could be even dealt this summer if the deal is right. How Casey Gore and new general manager wants to handle it, we might business make a huge move until the trade deadline, depending on how the season goes as far as health, win-loss ratio, yada, yada, yada. Moving on in the NBA draft, Michael Porter Jr., I do have to talk about this guy very quickly. A lot of people were talking about how good he was, how he could possibly replace LeBron James if he left in Cleveland, who Dan Gilbert was really looking at besides Colin Sexton, two very intriguing draft picks that they could take at the number eight spot, depending on how teams draft, what moves are made, who trades up, who trades down, what reason. With that being said, he has injured due to workout. He has a hip strain. How serious the injury is, none of us know at this moment. I haven't heard any other reports about it. I just know that due to the injury, he has canceled other workouts with other teams. In fact, he is not healthy enough to perform at 100% and show what he has. He's not an injury-prone player. I don't think it was the fact that it was from teams who were below pick. Was the hip injury, how serious it is. Hopefully he's ready to go by the start of the season. But, of course, you don't want anybody to rush him back from an injury. You want him 100%. You want him to compete and make an impact on your team. And if I'm any team, I'm looking at the injury, how serious it is, where his mental health is, and where we can actually plug him in. Could we take that hit if he's not ready? With that being said, I think Michael Porter Jr.'s draft stock is fine just where it is. I don't think it drops at all. I don't think he falls. I don't think it's that serious. Whether he continues to work out later on this week or next week, or if we get another update, we'll know how serious it is. But he's still a promising big or player in this draft that still got a lot of people's eye, with the hip strain or not. Moving on to LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like I said, they had their eye on Michael Porter Jr., Colin Sexton, maybe Trae Young. Really don't know what they're going to do at this point. But I hope they keep the draft pick. You know, I hope LeBron James stays in Cleveland. But if he does bolt for the West Coast with the Los Angeles Lakers or the Houston Rockets or the San Antonio Spurs, of course I'm going to follow him. That's my favorite player. I wish him nothing but the best. I know he wants to win. At the age, that tender age of 33, 34 years old, so I can understand that. And staying in Cleveland, I think they can make something happen. I know his family weighs on him heavily. I think they want to stay. We hear rumors about his son committing to a L.A. high school. We know that he has a house out there. LeBron James wants to come in. He has best friends on other teams. Yes, all this plays a factor, but it's just what if. We don't know until, you know, he decides, which is July 1st. So right now, of course, he's healing from his broke hand or whatever the case may be. He's spending time with his family. He's enjoying his vacation and enjoying his achievements and everything that he's accomplished. So if he stays in Cleveland, it's a wonderful story, but he's just going to need some help. And Dan Gilbert, Kobe Altman, and Coach Lou, or whatever coach they decide to go with or stick with for next season, needs to find a way to get this guy some help. He needs better players around him. Kevin Love, I think Rodney Hood, another young one. Shed some old contracts. Going to keep Tristan Thompson and make contracts. And it's not appetizing to players, any other teams around the league, unless you're throwing in a young player with it or possibly one of your best players via Kevin Love or LeBron James. CeeDee Osman, I think he's staying. He's pretty good. Don't know about anybody else, though. So with that being said, if he is able to team up with Paul George in Cleveland or L.A., that would be great. You talk about Carmelo Anthony. Of course, he's going to chase the bag. He's not as productive as he used to be in his youth. So the Thunder could care less if he stayed. Actually would prefer Paul George over Carmelo Anthony. But if both of them left and went to Cleveland, well, there it is. Melo and Paul George will help LeBron James out tremendously on the offensive end. Paul George with his defense will help him out on the defensive end. And the NBA draft. Who do you draft? Of course, you're going to need a floor general if you don't stick with George Hill. I'm pretty sure Jose Calderon will probably stay around. He is a pretty good, solid backup, even though he's a defensive liability. But he knows how to run the
Trae
offense
Young.
Off of LeBron James. But drafting Trae Young, who I think I just think might go early to the Hawks. Excuse me, that is my alarm for the show. I know we usually start at 7:30. But Trae Young, as you said, he's been working out. He's put on a little weight. His shot selection has gotten better. He's looked good in his workouts. Could be going early to the Atlanta Hawks, but that's just a rumor saying as a couple celebrities, including my boy Quavo, Honcho, Migos, wanting that guy here in Atlanta, and the recent mixed feelings of Dennis Schroeder throughout his media interviews, showing that he doesn't want to be there or sending mixed signals that they need to get better. What better way to do that than drafting Trae Young to have a pretty good backcourt in the East? Or moving on from Schroeder to bring in a young guy like Trae Young because you think he's ready to take frames. Also would like to see him in New York, even though I know people are already chattering about Kyrie Irving not signing the extension, could be leaving Boston after next season to go home to New York. Who really knows? But Atlanta, New York seem like good places for him. If he falls to Cleveland, that's great. Who's also been looking at Colin Sexton. You already gushed over him. Young John Wall, good defense, can score the basketball. Kind of has the temper of a Russell Westbrook, if you ask me, at an earlier stage that can be controlled and tamed and used for the better if he's paired with a good teammate or good mentor like LeBron James and Jose Calderon, of course, as a veteran point guard in the league. But Trae Young, Colin Sexton, fixing great. If they go big, I think they should try to get Michael Porter Jr. or possibly Marvin Bagley, who I don't see falling out of the top five, so they would obviously have to trade up. Maybe Jaren Jackson from Michigan State. They never really had that young rim protector that can get buckets on the other end as well. A true big, I believe. Loved him at Michigan State. Think he needs a little bit more weight on him. Trish obviously can help him out in the rebounding department and the hustle. Hopefully he doesn't turn into a fake tough guy. I don't know. But that's what I see for the Cleveland Cavaliers via if LeBron stays or leaves. With that being said, the Raptors are looking to blow up some things, minus, you know, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. I think the whole team is not untouchable besides their young guys, OG Anunoby, State, Fred VanVleet, and a couple others. I think Jonas Valanciunas, DeMar DeRozan, and Kyle Lowry could be playing for other teams next year, and they're looking to use this draft and those guys as bait to try and fight their way for some good picks to continue to compete after firing Dwayne Casey and giving up some of these stars who just can't seem to get past a LeBron James-built team, no matter how horrible it is. The future of these guys, Marvin Bagley, Aiden, I think those would be the first two picks in the draft, obviously going to Phoenix or Sacramento. Grizzlies, have to talk about the Grizzlies. They're actually thinking about shopping their fourth pick. I don't know if you heard about that. I will go into a mini rant before I give the mic back to you, Aaron. But the Grizzlies shopping their number four pick, I'm going to give you the pros and cons and foremost. It depends on if you're moving up and what player that you are after. Luka, maybe. Grizzlies have a pretty good young core with Twin, Dylan Brooks, Seldon. I like a lot of their young guys over there. They're real scrappy and tough. I noticed that when they came here in Detroit and gave us a spanking of their life with no Gasol and no Michael Conley. Two contracts they could look to trade and get rid of the injury-prone guys like Conley and Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol has pulled interest from Celtics, Lakers, Cleveland at one point in time, and New York. But with that big contract, how much are they willing to give up to get this injury-prone big? Same thing with Michael Conley. I think he could be moved or actually stay if he can be healthy, but he's going to need a lot of help. And with these young guys over there, they have a chance to build something special here, especially with the number four pick. People think the Memphis Grizzlies are bad just because they don't have the big names they once had. Zach Randolph, Gasol and Conley injured every year. Rudy Gay is gone. They did bring Tyreke Evans over here, who had a pretty solid year until he got injured once again. But these guys are still pretty heavy favorites to improve in the West as far as I'm concerned. I've always liked the Grizzlies, a tough team that made the postseason. No matter if they were injured or if they were healthy, they always gave whatever team they were facing through the first, the second, or the third round hell. So I don't expect that demeanor to change with a couple faces missing or being traded away. I only see the sky as the ceiling for this team. But them trading a number four pick could be a big mistake also, depending on what's left after the first three picks and who they're aiming for. maybe they want a lower draft pick with a star or a young stud, maybe from Denver or the L.A. Lakers or Clippers. Really don't know. Shooting in the dark here, but you definitely don't want to mess this up. I believe this draft is star-packed from the first round all the way into halfway of the second round. A couple of guys that could slip or get picked over, and you definitely don't want to mess it up if you're a rebuilding Grizzlies team and you don't know the future of the two stars you have here. Firing Fizdale was retarded to me, even though he has a new job in New York with that team over there in the East. Back by
bright future for him.
Players, but I'm going to be looking at the Memphis Grizzlies. But if you have any questions, any opinions that you'd like to air out for Aaron or the rest of the
I got a question. It's not about free agency or the draft. It's about NBA, but it's another. What do you think Boston Celtics should do moving forward with the very evolving mind of Kyrie Irving?
Well, give me 1 second. If you guys have any questions for me or Aaron, I want to let your opinion be known and air out. Please call in at 949-270-5945. I'm talking about Soto, Harper, Longoria. I'm talking about the NBA draft, free agency, the Grizzlies, Michael Porter's injury. Please call in. We're here. As far as the Boston Celtics, what they should do with Kyrie Irving is a very well-spoken individual. He knows what he wants to do. He has the talent, even though it's followed by lingering injuries. The surgery is successful. He should be ready to play with this Boston Celtics team, who looks like the favorites to take over the East if they can go ahead and get that chemistry back together. Jaylen Brown and Tatum have already shown. Kyrie, Gordon, Horford, and the rest of the team, including the head coach Brad Stevenson, what this team could be capable of. So I think they're the favorites in the East right now. Healthy and unhealthy, well, you've seen what they do. They take the monkey on their back and they walk 1,000 miles where they go as far as you let them. What should they do about the Kyrie Irving situation? The Boston Celtics are afraid. I've read notifications and updates, rumors, and close sources saying that they are afraid that they don't know what Kyrie Irving is going to do after this season. Seeing as how they took a big risk trading, it was more reward than risk at this point, especially if he decides to stay and not bolt for New York. I think they waited out. Danny Ainge, as Devontae likes to say, never seen that he didn't like, so who knows? Kyrie Irving could end up being dealt next season, this upcoming season. Or he could be convinced to stay, especially if these guys run through the East, they beat LeBron James, whether he's here or not, and make their way to the NBA Finals and possibly win a championship. That's a long shot right now. I know I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but these are the things that you have to take into consideration when you're talking about a young star's future. He also would like to know how well Kyrie's going to hold up this season since he's been plagued by injuries since his college days at Duke. You see that nobody's untouchable for Danny Ainge, seeing as how he traded Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Ante Zizic, and a couple of draft picks. You know what I'm saying? But the Celtics are sitting well, drafted well. They put together core players. They made questionable trades that just so happened to work out for this team going back all the way to 2008. So I don't know what the Celtics are going to do, but I know that they have a pretty good young roster, a pretty good young coach, and Danny Ainge just seems to make things happen and make it work out for them in the better in the long run. So what should they do?
What am I taking on it?
So what I think they're going to do what Cleveland should have done, and that's wait him out to see what's actually going to happen. But if they jump the gun, I think they'll make a better trade and choice trading Kyrie Irving, such a coveted young point guard in our league, make a better choice at trading him than Cleveland did. I will say that.
Well, my take on it is I had read something before all this came out. They can't keep Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and Rozier. So that's already problems in their salary cap already. They're going to be good this next season, but after that, something has to be done anyway. Kyrie, we saw what happened in Cleveland. I don't trust them. Him and Jimmy Butler already wanted to team up with each other. You see the problems going on with Wiggins and Carl Anthony Towns. And ain't just the Knicks. There's a lot of people across the league that's been talking to this guy for years. And remember, his initial list was the Spurs, the Timberwolves, and I forgot what the fourth team was, but that guy had 1 foot in, 1 foot out the door. Of course they're winning. Of course they have a good, legendary resume. But I don't think Kyrie is tied down to anybody at this point in his career, man. So, like you say, they can wait it out, but you're going to lose a guy for free, and you could move his contract and get another star in return.
I will say it again. It's good talking about this for the simple fact this is what the title of the show means today. A wild summer. Crazy free agency. And I have to tell you, some of those guys that you name could get moved during draft time or in the offseason, Aaron. Those problems could be solved this year, this offseason, or it could be solved during February during the trade deadline. I'm telling you. We talk about the all-star team-ups. We kind of can see the writing on the wall. We have the rumors that make you think this, but they do a full 360, 720 on you and go the opposite direction, the exact opposite direction. With that being said, pieces will be moved. Like you said with the Boston Celtics, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, even Marcus Morris. These guys are going to want their money. They're going to want to get paid. They also can be used as good trade bait, or if you're able to clear Kyrie Irving out, you can keep those guys, truth be told. Same thing with Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, the third option fiasco, this, that, and the third. Who's better? Fizz doesn't have control over that situation over there, and it's so sad because it's such a promising team, especially with all these guys healthy in the Western Conference. I thought they would go so far. Silly me. How was I supposed to know that Philadelphia would go far than Minnesota? That's crazy. Those are my two long shots in each conference, actually. And only one, you know what I'm saying, went further and provided something that I didn't expect. But with that being said, yeah, Jimmy Butler could vote. Karl Anthony Towns, I doubt that they would trade Karl Anthony Towns before they trade Andrew Wiggins. Or maybe these two guys find a way to make it work. As far as players wanting to play with each other, I'm sure it's a lot of abundant players in the league that would love to play with each other. But as far as teaming up, contract situations, getting that bag, it never comes together. And some of them sacrifice it and they find a way to make it work. Via Kevin Durant with the Golden State Warriors, LeBron James is probably one of the smartest businessmen in the league today. And I'm pretty sure Kyrie Irving has learned a thing or two, despite all the hatred or rumors you may hear about their relationship. Don't really care. But, yeah, all of those problems, all of those questions that you just aired out for, me and everybody listening, that could be solved during the draft or during free agent July 1st. Not to mention, as soon as the season starts, you get to see how teams pan out, what injuries, and what possibilities are thrown down on the table when it comes to trade deadline in between. So I think a lot of those problems get solved. With that being said, besides looking for the Pistons to improve, get a new GM, possibly improve some of their positions, and besides my LeBron watch, I have nothing else to worry about. I'm a fan to the game after that. I'm curious to see where everybody's moving, what direction they're going in, who they draft, what contracts are given out, who's getting paid. How will these two guys play together? How will they team up? Could I name another long shot? How well will they do this season? Or will they be healthy? After that, I'm just a fan of the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I hope Westbrook gets some help. That's what I'm. That's probably what the main thing I'm thinking about this summer. I know LeBron, that's going to work itself out, but I want to see my guy late in the playoffs this year.
Me and Devontae did discuss a couple of trades involving the Cleveland Cavaliers and Kevin Love, and Russell Westbrook was incorporated in one rumor as well as how well would he fit as a Cavalier if LeBron James stayed and the Thunder were able, and the Cavaliers were able to snatch all three of them from the Thunder. Of course, that's not realistic. Couldn't happen. Paul George, Carmelo, McCabe actually snatching Russell Westbrook. Your whole team is gutted. Not to mention you guys are still aging. You need some youth. But the Kevin Love deals didn't look too bad. It was only two that I would actually go with, maybe a third if my back is against the wall. And they were all if LeBron James leaves, besides one if he stays. Then they try to pull Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, both over there. Now you have four stars. You surround them with some talented young youth at each position. Of course, you're keeping JR and Tristan. You're probably drafting Trae Young and Sexton, and how this team looks like a very dangerous team in the East that can compete with a Boston Celtics team, a Washington Wizards team, a Milwaukee Bucks team, a Philadelphia 76er team, a Toronto Raptor team, depending on what they do, and possibly Pistons, Heat, or Charlotte rounding out those eight that make the playoffs. But, yeah, I definitely want to know what Russell Westbrook's going to do. It looks like in Russ We Trust is staying in Oklahoma, especially with the contract extension.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Or just come back with Carmelo Anthony, Love, Stephen Adams, think their young guys still have a lot of growing to do, but they'll be okay. But losing two stars is definitely going to hurt, and they're going to have to go into another direction or try to land something in free agency, which is going to be pretty hard to do. So I think Russ is going to be the lone star once again over there. Maybe get another player of Deion Waiters' caliber or one of these guys just stepping up. They will have Roberson back healthy next season. Steven Adams, once again, is probably one of the best big men in the Western Conference over there. I know Pat Patterson, old, but still old, reliable, wasn't reliable this season. I really don't know what kind of help the Thunder can give this guy, and losing out on Paul George might hurt, and they might be forced to hold on to Carmelo Anthony to have some type of scoring punch. Who knows? But, yeah, I definitely would like to see Russell Westbrook get some help this year and stay competitive, because he is one of the most fiery point guards and players we have in this league, even though that anger can sometimes take over and be his downfall. But with that being said, averaging triple-doubles, being explosive, scoring inside and out, being a nightmare on the defensive ends, pretty much a nightmare matchup on both ends. Yes, I would love to see that player get help, continue to compete in the Western Conference, and keep the Thunder afloat. And I believe he's one of those players, one of those caliber players that can do that by himself and on his own, as he's already proven, just to be perfectly honest. Yeah, I was done talking. I thought you were about to, hop in and go straight.
No, I got real quiet. Yeah. The last thing on that Russell Westbrook point, I know his style of play is not for everybody, but it's like in the era of super teams and everybody calling Durant disloyal and all that, nobody gives Russell Westbrook enough credit for being loyal, because
I'll give you the reason why. I'm going to let you finish. I'm going to give you the reason why after you're done, though.
He could have went anywhere, you know what I'm saying? He could be out there recruiting guys. He's just staying loyal to himself, man. He's just about the game, man. I like his demeanor, man. Just like Kobe, man. He just gets down to it, man. I wish he was in the East, I wish he was on the Pelicans, with Anthony Davis.
That would be
like you said, we're gonna see what's gonna happen.
They kept Rondo.
Yeah. What were you about to say?
But, yeah, I'll give you my reason. Just give me 1 second. Background is kind of noisy. I got the window up. Motorcycles are riding by. Nice outside. Blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry if I'm talking too fast as well. I jumble over words. But, hey, let me see if I can slow it down for you real quick. Press for time. I'm just so excited. That's all it is. The jitters. But I'll give you the reason why he doesn't get the credit. I mean, I give him his credit. There are plenty of people out there that give him his credit and recognize what he's doing. But, of course, we watch these shows, we listen to sportscasters, different fans, different opinions. Everybody's not going to agree. We're going to agree to disagree. That's the big thing to do nowadays. Always has been. Probably always will be. Yes, he is an old-school player. He has that demeanor. You can bring up Kobe, some of those guys in the old-school era. Russell Westbrook is very prideful. He's very talented, and he believes in his game 100%. I guarantee you he believes he's the best player at any position or at any given day of time in the league. He's just that fiery. He fires his teammates up. He gets in their ass. He makes them better. He continues to improve every year. Takes no criticism. His anger gets the best of him sometimes. He gets heckled. That gets to him. When Durant first left, I've never seen him fired up. He had something that he was playing for. He wanted to destroy them. With that being said, he has to be met by the same type of fire, and he's building that with the teammates that he's given, not complaining about who he doesn't have or what help he doesn't have. He makes it work with whatever he has. As far as recruiting, I don't think he can give a damn, because we're friends off the court, we're on that court. I'm trying to win. I'm trying to destroy you. It is as simple as that, and I love that about Russell Westbrook. Now, if he can make that anger work towards his, work for him more than against him, he'd be one of the most dangerous cerebral assassins in the league, because he has that gene, the Kobe gene, or the killer gene, we like to call it. But with that being said, a lot of people notice that. They will give him his credit for that. But if he jacks up a shot, if his anger takes control of him, if he continues to go back and forth with fans, he gets destroyed by his former teammate with a new team, all of it falls on him. If he takes a bad shot, if he rushes this, dancing, having actual friendships and relationships with his teammates, then it's all looked at as bad, and I think that's wrong. Seeing as how this guy's averaged a double-triple-double with and without Paul George,
told you, Carmelo Anthony. Yes, that is a great achievement. But the simple fact he's only won, 58 games by himself, averaging triple-double. You get two other All-Stars, you only win 59 games the next year, and you fall out to the Jazz. He gets a lot of hate and criticism instead of achievements and glory. And I feel like that's wrong. I think that Kevin Durant should have stayed in Oklahoma. If not, I thought for sure he was coming to the East to make the Eastern Conference more competitive, since the West is better than the East, even though the East is on the uprise right now. I'm just going to say that right now. But Kevin Durant going to the East, maybe playing for his hometown, Washington Wizards, would have been nice going home. I could have seen that with him, Bill, Wall, Porter, Kelly Jr., Gortat. Of course, you're not going to be able to keep all those guys, but adding Durant over there with Markieff Morris and the rest of those guys, I thought that would have been, you know, real great for the Eastern Conference, you know, competing against Boston, Cleveland, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Toronto, and whatever teams you think are going to fill out that Eastern Conference. But sticking on track to Russell Westbrook, a lot of people like to hate when they really should be, you know what I'm saying, happy with what Russell Westbrook is doing. He doesn't complain. He does his job. He's capable of the big moments and carrying the team by himself. And sad to say, he might be carrying his team by himself this season, depending on the decisions of Paul George and the Oklahoma City Thunder's decision on Carmelo Anthony, who I think should have ended up with Portland, stayed with the Knicks, or probably went Cleveland. But hey, what do I know, right? It's just my opinion.
Lord, what do you feel about Myles Garrett and the KD comments?
I am glad that you brought that up, my friend. 7:46, we don't have that much time to go, so why not switch to the NFL to talk about these few topics that I have? There it is. Listeners at home, far and wide, have yep. Me and Aaron are here, man. Call in 949-270-59. Talk about it. NBA. And we're going to talk about the promising prospect in Miles at the injury bug last year. Browns weren't up. I felt like they could have won every game that they especially the game here in Detroit. So we've been the first they're horrible to add it. But it would have been well deserved. Offense, coaching style, I think the Browns are going this year, and they're going to and come fantasy time, you can best those. But we're talking about Miles. Had strong words for the Browns season this year, as well as his health and newly crowned 2-time NBA Finals MVP, Kevin Durant. I'm going to start with the season. He expects these guys to come in to do their job. Very happy with the results, getting back healthy, the trades that these guys made, the free agent pickups that they made, and, of course, the draft picks. He expects them to come out and punch everybody in the mouth every single game. Can't wait to see what his stats are for this season. Like I said, you might see the Browns defense on my fantasy team this year. Hopefully you join us, Aaron. As far as his health, he said he's feeling better than ever. Hopefully he can stay healthy this season, not injury-riddled, and really show you guys why he was one of the number one picks in last year's draft. And we can really see what this Browns team is really about with everybody healthy, nobody getting injured in training, OTAs, knock on wood before, you know, anything is over. And we can really see what this team is going to do. I guarantee they won't go 0-16 this year. Moving on to his remarks and words about Kevin Durant. I think a lot of people feel this way, and a lot of people will defend Kevin Durant as far as the whole who started the super team thing or taking the easy way out. But Myles Garrett, of course, being a Cleveland Brown, is going to support his fellow Cleveland athlete in LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, and saying that Kevin Durant took the easy way out, joining other All-Stars. He felt like he would have been better respected going to Washington or the Eastern Conference, or either staying with Oklahoma as a whole and trying to dethrone the Golden State Warriors, as well as beat off any other upcoming new teams via the Spurs and Houston, maybe the Clippers at the time. he wasn't too happy. He didn't praise him too much. I honestly believe he still thinks he's one of the best scorers in the league, obviously one of the best players in the league, but he just doesn't agree with taking the easy way out as to he is more competitive, and he questions KB's competitiveness. I think a lot of people do, and a lot of people defend it. Of course, Myles Garrett is very competitive, and it's only his second season in the league, and he's going to prove that this year. But what I'm more concerned about is the clapback I know that Kevin Durant is going to make with either his original account or his burner account at Myles Garrett. And, you know, he's never been one to be quiet. He always engages with the fans, whether it's social media, out in public. Recently, you've seen that he had to hold himself back from a heckling Cleveland fan in Cleveland at the end of Game 3 or before the start of Game 4, either or. But Kevin Durant always claps back. I agree with Myles Garrett, yet it's hard to argue with the results that Kevin Durant did. He made a business move. He made a legacy move, I guess you can call it, and it's worked out for him. Now he's a two-time NBA champion, two-time Finals MVP. There's no more you can really say to this guy. You can criticize him. He's just going to continue to win as long as he can with this team being put together, which could come apart in, what, next year or two, depending on these contracts, you know, with Draymond, Clay, maybe even Durant leaving, I don't know. But with that being said, how do you feel about Myles Garrett's comments? I mean, I totally agree with it, and I can't wait to see how Kevin Durant claps back. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, Joe's and everybody else are going to be talking about it as well. Probably already did. I just didn't see it.
Yeah, I agree with him, but I just thought about something that I never thought of when you was just, you know, explaining your take on it. Everything he said was cool. It's more in line with everything he's been saying. I told you from the beginning, I had no problem with him leaving at free agency. I just hate the narrative that the East is garbage. But you had the opportunity to go East to Boston or to the Wizards and take over and take the King's throne. It was no reason for you to go to that team that was already built on the dynasty without you. So that's my point on that. But I just thought about something, and I hate bringing up this because to me it's not about LeBron. If LeBron started off Cleveland his first year with Jeff Green, and then his second year, Westbrook came, then his third year, James Harden came, don't you think LeBron would have built off that team and made a dynasty and won like 3 or 4 championships?
Definitely give him a better chance with Kevin Durant. You have to remember, he was a young kid as well. LeBron, there's no talent like LeBron James coming out of these drafts. Very close.
No. I'm saying like, put LeBron on OKC from
his beginning of his career. Oh, no, I hear what you're saying. His positions, yeah. Kevin Durant is in Cleveland. LeBron James is in Oklahoma, and he gets these type of caliber players and draft picks.
Yeah, definitely.
Even though it'll be hard, seeing as how LeBron James works with what he has, I think he would have made Oklahoma City Thunder much more better, and they probably wouldn't have got half of those draft picks. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying, you know, hypothetically.
Yeah. And my thing with that is also, he says it himself in that complex interview that he doesn't want to be a leader. He's more of a go out and show you. He don't know how to tell a person to do this. I'm like, LeBron is like, how can I say it? He's a millennial. You know, he's in a new era of players where he's very vocal about the franchise and what he wants to do. I think if that was him in that position, he would have made Sam Presti do anything to keep that team together. If that was LeBron in that position, if that was Kobe in that position, that was Jordan in that position, they would have made the front office make that team work. Maybe that's the difference between the Warriors organization and the Thunder organization. You never know. But Durant, for him to be this all-time great and a leader, he needed to be more vocal. He should have been more vocal. He should have rolled for his team, his city he cared so much about through all the trials and tribulations, them not making the playoffs, them going through the hurricanes and all that, the MVP crying for Westbrook, run through a wall for him. If him just flipped the switch like that, and now he's just out here, I don't know. I don't respect it. I respect his game. I don't respect him. And I don't think I ever will, man.
Way out, but the easy way out seemed like the smarter way for him, and he's a two-time champion in spite of what everybody else thinks. How do you like that? But I will say that we have about roughly over 5 minutes left to go on the show. Two more topics I'd like to get to real quick before we get up out of here. First off, I'd like to talk about the Los Angeles Chargers. This is Devontae's team, as he is Mr. L.A., even though he did not root for the L.A. Kings when they were in the playoffs this year in NHL. You suck. But the Los Angeles Chargers engaged in talks with Antonio Gates, Hall of Fame, tight end, Pro Bowler. We thought all would be done at this point in his career. Is actually being called back to action. Promising young tight end Henry Hunter tears his ACL in training camp or OTAs, whatever the case may be. And the old man is being called upon again. I think Antonio Gates will still be productive. Him and Phillip Rivers still have that connection. As far as their health goes, if they're healthy, I think he'll still be a great connect. He'll look to get more targets, something you should look for in fantasy football. As far as Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates with the connection that they have, Los Angeles Chargers looking to come back more better than ever. I think their defense is revamped. I did like their draft picks, and on the offensive end, as long as you have Antonio Gates and the rest of these guys being healthy, Melvin Gordon and Keenan Allen, I think the Los Angeles Chargers are going to put a print on that that division next year. And since I got on the note of fantasy football, I will talk about fantasy football. Can't say that I will have the Chargers defense, maybe Phillip Rivers or Antonio Gates. I guess whatever pick I get or the certain team will decide that, going with the best player available, of course. But fantasy football is something that we do just about every year, tradition. You want to try to make this a money lead, $20 to $50 a person. Winner gets the pot, probably buy one of those fake WWE championship belts or some type of trophy for one to hold on for the rest of the year and have bragging rights with a little bit of cheddar on the side. Me and Devontae always compete. His cousin, mother, uncles compete. A couple of our boys compete. Hopefully Aaron competes in this league with us this year. And I'm looking to get my crown back. Champion the year before, chump last year. What's going to be the outcome for me and my fantasy team this upcoming season? Especially with all these teams looking so good and healthy. Nobody suspended from what I can see at the moment. Maybe I'm lying because it's always somebody suspended for domestic violence, weed, drugs, something. But I'm excited for fantasy football and football season as a whole, especially college football, college basketball, WNBA, tennis, golf. I watch it all. I'm excited for it all. When it ends, I'm sad. When it comes around, it's like it's too much to keep up with, but somehow we find a way to do it. With that being said, I was in the Fantasy Football League with Aaron and a couple of his friends last year, and I have to say it was pretty crazy. Our teams were stacked. It wasn't that many people in it. And who knows if we get somebody to join or, you know, widen our draft prospects. We usually go through ESPN.
Joining yours.
Standard League, PPR, whatever it may be, me and Devontae will be on here every day along with Aaron and possibly Mike giving you guys our takes on what to expect from week to week, one of the most unpredictable games in the league, getting bread off of fantasy football. It's going to be very fun. Shouts out to Devontae. He will be back with us tomorrow. Got to thank my man Aaron for doing the show with me today. And, man, seconds to go. This was just a pretty great show all around. So with these 90 seconds left, if you guys have anything to say about Soto, the Nats, and Harper, Longoria's injury, the crazy wild summer I'm expecting with the NBA draft right around the corner, free agency in the NBA, Grizzly shocking their number 4 pick, Michael Porter Jr.'s injury and how that affects his draft stock, the NFLPA exploring multiple law firms to research different ways to stop the anthem, Myles Garrett's comments on his team, his health, and Kevin Durant, Chargers and Gates engaging to maybe get this guy back on the team to fill in a spot that they thought Hunter Henry was ready to fill, or fantasy football as a whole. With these last 60 seconds, please do call in at 949-270-5945. That's pretty much all I have to say. Unless one of you guys call in, I'm going to let Aaron close us out today if he has anything to say. Or another question for me and us out there. Take it away, my friend. You've got about under 30 seconds.
Shout out to Greg Hardy. Nice, exciting victory. 57 knockout. 52nd KO knockout on his professional debut. Dana White gave him a contract. I'm waiting to see what he's going to do in UFC. Hearing these rumblings about Brock and John Jones, I'm waiting to see that. CM Punk, you should retire.
Go back to the WWE.
That's my final take.
That's the show.
Hopefully. I doubt it, though.
That is the show. Please tune in tomorrow as Devontae will be back, and we will have Aaron call in again. These have been some great shows. With that being said, I want you guys to enjoy your day, watch a lot of baseball, continue to watch ESPN, be on the watch for NBA, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Peace.